When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you like what you hear, please follow us on all podcast platforms. You could also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search Upstate Golf Guys. Our episodes drop every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. with an occasional surprise episode. We appreciate you tuning in.
518 to the Cape.
That's he got all of that one.
This podcast is brought to you by Golf Week Amateur Tour, where amateurs play like pros, a national tour for all golfers and all skill sets in our 30th anniversary. We are New York Upstate Region, and if you would like more information or to join, go to www.amateurgolftour.net.
We are back, and we are in the prime of things. Masters is just getting over with. Our first event at the Golf Week Amateur Tour is in the books, Mikey. I know you couldn't make it, but
for you,
I know you couldn't make it, but it was a good event. And
that's all right. I'm gonna get my four in that I gotta get in to head down south.
And RGB has golfed 37 times already in the last Jesus week. Christ.
No, let's see. I played 2, 3, 4 days, so I'm about seven rounds. That's the thing. I'm only playing like 9 to 12 holes most of the time. I played 18 today, so four full rounds so far.
Yeah, that's one nice thing about having a membership is like if you do want to just play like six holes or something,
right?
An hour.
Yeah,
it's not a murder on your pocket,
right?
That's the thing. I only pay for the cart, so it's not bad. It's even if I play 18, it's $20, so it's not brutal every time I go out. I did win this Sunday at the Pitch Putt Buff, though, so
hey, cash. Well, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but this guy won too, you know. So we both won some cash. That's cool, bro. That's awesome.
No doubt. It's a good weekend.
What do you think about Scotty winning the Masters? I mean, that was expected, right? From basically everybody, I guess.
So to be honest with you, I turned it off after the 13th hole, because he's too good to be caught from behind. Like, there's no one in that field who was close to, like, behind him that was capable of making a run to catch him the way he was playing.
You messaged me. You said, Scott, I think it was like, dude, I was in the middle of my tournament, and you said, Scotty's got it in the bag, and I went and looked. I'm like, dude, like, it tells you they're only on, like, the seventh hole, sixth hole, plenty of time, but you called it.
Because we were planning on going live on Instagram.
Right.
There was nothing to talk about because it was locked in. Like, I was expecting like an exciting, like, live guy, PGA guy down the stretch, and that just didn't happen.
Yeah, it was a little boring. I would agree.
Yeah, I tuned in. I watched, but I was rooting for the live guys.
It was just beautiful course to watch anybody play golf on.
Always is a treat. So three of the top 10 were live. That's okay. Pretty good. That's a pretty good ratio, right?
For the amount of guys that are in live compared to the PGA, of course.
Yeah, everyone's bashing it.
Everybody's like killing it. Like, Brad was killing it. Scrounge was killing that today in its group text.
Yeah, 3 out of 10 is a pretty solid solid number. But we got an awesome episode. It's going to be fun. We have Skull Golf Company, who I have been following. They've been following us for quite some time. Actually sent me some merch. Here's one of the awesome bucket hats. I was going to wear it, Raj. There you go. I was going to wear it, but you can't wear it with headphones. It's really tough to wear. So I was trying to figure it out with these things. But I'm a bucket hat guy, and I will be wearing this on the golf course. I'm actually going to have an outfit this weekend for Cape Cod, and it's included in one of those outfits.
Yo, let me ask you.
Yeah.
So Are you treating this trip like the first day of school and have like all your outfits laid out prior?
I certainly do.
As soon as we're done with this podcast tonight, I'm starting to pack.
Yeah, isn't it so funny? But like, if you're going to do something, if you're going to do something like with your girl or going away for the weekend, you wait till the last minute to throw some shit in a bag. But you got a golf trip planned, you're 3-4 days ahead of time. You got your clothes ironed and laid out, socks organized in your suitcase or your bag or whatever you're doing.
Like, I really do, dude. I actually picked out my outfit like 3 weeks ago when High Society got that High Society shirt. I started picking my outfits then.
The thing that sucks is it's going to be chilly enough to where you're going to have layers on.
That's for sure. I think we're going to get into the 60s. If it doesn't rain on Saturday, it's going to be in the 60s. It's going to be no wind. So I'm going to wear I have an Under Armour compression shirt that I'm going to rock under the High Society.
There you go.
And then I have a new pair of pants from a company called Chubbies. I mean, I am chubby, so they're perfect for me. But check out Chubbies. I mean, they were Andrea yelled at me because I spent like $86 on a pair of pants. But she doesn't get it. I mean, you don't get it. There's some that are $130. Listen, you don't get it. He yelled at Andrea today. He goes, Andrea, God bless you.
He was telling them guys like, fuck Roback. Roback paid fucking $60 for a shirt.
Mike, I got him for the trip, brother. I got him for a special occasion. I've been waiting for this trip for 365 days, okay? Like literally since last year.
I get it, man.
You can find the same pants for $25 somewhere, bro.
Yeah, no.
Because they're sure made in the same place.
I'm sure if I went to like Burlington Coat Factory, or if I went to like
I actually got two pairs of Nike pants from Burlington Coat Factory like a year and a half ago for like $30 a piece. $80 pants.
No, they're there, but I like to spend money.
He likes to spur the economy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Another cool thing we're going to do today, everybody stay tuned. It's going to be the first ever episode or segment, I should say, of the Golf Week Spotlight. It's going to be awesome. I know, Roger, you're not going to know much, but you could hang around sometimes and just like talk about courses and everything. But I'm going to spotlight the winners from that previous week from the Golf Week Am Tour.
Shout out my man Mitchell Dixon, man. That's my
he was there. Okay, you said that. And then I'm going to give a shout out to all the big money winners, because there's people that win skins don't necessarily win win the tournament. And there was somebody this time that actually won big money. He won more money than all three or all four flights combined. He took home one huge skin. So that's big news. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about all, how the course is played and everything. And I know you're, like I said, you might come to a few events, but you got your pitch, putt, and puff thing going on Sundays. I understand.
Yeah, it's tough. I get it. Like the Saturday events will definitely be tough. Sundays, it's just, like I said, man, I pay, it's so cheap for me to go play golf that
it's tough for you.
It's tough to go spend $100 some odd to go do the same thing.
One that's worth it is definitely the ranch.
That's what I'm saying. Like if it's like a good course, like I've never played before and I've been looking forward to playing somewhere, I'll do that. But
well, I mean, yeah, it's up to the guys too. You know, you want to see if they're in, and you don't want to leave them behind on a Sunday. They're depending on you on Sundays.
Yep. Pretty much.
You know what I mean?
Those guys could have tied their own shoes without me.
Well, you said you're going to be hurting for people, aren't you?
Well, so I guess Hank had a little incident. He's doing okay. I talked to him earlier. He's planning on playing this weekend. Brad's obviously going away with you guys. JR's got a hockey tournament. So, I mean, I'm good to go this weekend as long as – so I have – the way I do it, just so I'm safe, I get 9 guys. And I know Brad's kind of going to rotate in and out. So I have that backup guy. But this year, my backup guy's wife is expecting like any day now. So I know I'm going to have to find another backup guy really soon.
Pulling a Scotty Scheffler.
I know, man.
Yeah, right. Listen.
His wife, Meredith, was the only one who could have stopped him from winning that tournament on Sunday.
Right. Well, that's one thing.
I kind of wish she did.
That would have been pretty funny. That's one thing that will come before golf. That's the only thing is our family, and that's what I say. It goes for me. It's family then golf is.
I think if it was the second kid though, he probably wouldn't have missed.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. You know
it's
what?
The first kid, you
if
can't.
If you're in the middle of the Masters, like they might have had an agreement. And if he's like, listen, if I'm winning and it's the final round and you go into labor, I mean, sorry.
So like,
I'll be there when agreement. I'm done.
The fact he's already got a green jacket too. Definitely.
Yeah, I know. But it totally depends on the spot he's in he's, in the tournament. So if you're leading, you ain't giving that lead up.
He's a total family man, anyways.
He is. He's just a good dude. He's good for the game, but like,
he really is.
I actually do. I'm taking a liking to the guy after I've been watching a few interviews of him, and he went like into his local dive bar in his in town in Texas. Did you guys see that video?
Yeah.
He like just went in with his green jacket and bought the whole bar beers. Like
taking
whole,
pictures with people and left
like,
and right.
Yeah,
bro.
Literally. Like, so that's a dude. That's a cool thing. And I'm sorry to say that's something Tiger would have never done.
No, I don't
hearing how him and his old lady are and how they grew together,
Scotty,
from the very beginning.
He was a nerd. Like she said, like he was so awkward, but she loved it when they first started like dating and talking.
I did see that.
She said he was like really an awkward dude. But they have an awesome story.
That's cool. It was cool. It was cool to see too. Was what's the one kid? Aberg? Is that how you pronounce it?
Ashti Aberg. The guy who just qualified the last tournament.
So honestly, like the tournament was lost after the 11th hole on Sunday, because those guys, him and Morikawa, were in contention. They were in striking distance, I should say. So if they kept pace with him right there, they could have made a run at something, but. Both of them went in the water on 11. And I literally, after that, that's when I seen Morikawa go in the water, I turned over.
I'm sorry. Lakviv. I was thinking of somebody totally different, but his name is Lakviv or something. Aberg or
what? Aberg. A-B-E-R-G.
It's like it starts with A and L, his first name. But
Aberg or something.
He's like, that's it. He's Swedish or something.
He qualified a long time ago. I'm thinking of somebody else that just qualified, that Ashtia guy.
Who's the amateur? The dude with the long hair.
Shipley.
Yo, how cool though.
He got paired up with Tiger.
Did Tiger give him? Did you guys see that video?
He said he never gave him anything.
Everybody said, like, I didn't see the footage. Like, people I saw in comments, they're like, but I saw the footage. So like he did give him something.
Probably an autographed ball or something.
I bet you it was his phone number. And it was like, it was just basically, if you want to contact me for pro tips or for like help, but like he didn't want to just announce it to the world that that's what he did. So he's just like, but the way he looked at the guy, whoever he looked at,
that was so funny.
Like somebody was like, probably like on the other end was like,
don't say anything.
And he was like, no, he didn't.
And that's how uncomfortable for that kid though. Put in that situation to be playing with Tiger Woods is, you know, early 20s or whatever he is. Like, bro, I would swing and miss at the first tee box if Tiger Woods was standing right next to me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that pressure and to be able to perform at that level at a young age, like, that's another kid you got to keep an eye out on. Like, there's certain players that really, like, if you build confidence early on in their careers, they can really run with it and make things happen.
Oh, absolutely. Imagine that kid the night before when he sees the pairings for the next morning.
You don't sleep.
He's with Tiger. Could you imagine?
No. No. Anthony, you can't sleep because you're excited about the cape. What do you think if I told you were playing with Tiger Woods tomorrow?
Oh, God. I know.
I don't like the dude, so I'd be like a double like knee cruncher. I'd be biting my lip the whole round.
Yeah, he doesn't bother me. I mean, he brought a lot of excitement to the game when we were kids. Like,
No one cared about golf
until he came around.
I think he's changing as a person, and I'm being 100% honest. Mikey, I argue with Mikey about it all the time. I think he is the GOAT at golf. Nobody ever had shots like
he is.
Wait, but listen, he was a very, very bad person in life.
Still an
for
asshole.
What he did, he's an asshole. But I do, however, I think he's, as he's getting older, you could see his attitude changing. With fans and with the younger players.
Because he's got kids.
I don't know what it is, but when he was younger, he was a prick, dude. Throughout his heyday, he was known to not give people high fives. He was known to not, like, and people were like, he was focused. I'm sorry.
You know who else did that, though? Michael Jordan. What was Michael Jordan? He was the GOAT. like there's certain personalities and mentalities you have to have to be.
Yeah.
Always remember who's paying your salary, though, dude. True, and give your fans some love. That's what I say. Always remember that. If it wasn't,
get me wrong,
fans, you would be nothing. And I love Jordan, like Jordan, but I just think anybody that has that attitude with fans, and I don't like it, dude. You know who else is like that, Mike? And you're gonna hate to hear this, dude. But I heard he was a real asshole when it came to the Capitol. Is Mike Piazza? He literally straight eyed everybody, and he went right to where he had to go. People were there with the autograph because they came back to him. Be like, oh, I was there with autographs, and I don't want. He didn't do nothing for me.
In perspective too. So
they don't want to be bothered. Whatever, I get it. But
they're always being bothered. Yes, they go to the airport. They go. They take the taxi. They take an Uber. They take everything. Is a harassment. At a certain point, you're gonna be like, nope, all right, tunnel vision.
That's what they do, and they just walk where they gotta go. And I mean, I get it.
But the thing with Tiger too, like, yeah, he did his dirt at Perkins and Denny's and whatever else he did. But like, everybody can judge him for that. But he's not the only one on the tour doing that kind of shit. Like, that's what other people, you know, it's other guys just haven't been caught yet. That's really what it. Not necessarily with Perkins girls or whatever, but.
Yeah, he's well, you hear stories and you don't know how much of it is true. So much shit is fabricated with the internet now also, and you hear the worst of it, you know.
I don't believe none of it.
The guy's still one of the greatest golfers of all is the greatest golfer of all time. I don't care that he didn't reach the record on Nicklaus's record. But he's still better than Nicklaus. If they both played in their prime, he would fucking smoke the guy.
The only thing that I think Nicklaus has over Tiger is he was playing with inferior fucking clubs, balls, you know what I mean?
The technology.
The courses were way worse back then.
Yeah, yeah. You could
pristine courses now. Tiger's got an edge on that.
You could have that conversation with everything. You could talk about absolutely Babe Ruth.
Yeah. It's the era. You gotta break it down to an era. Like, Jack was the best of his era.
Right.
Tiger's the best of his era. We'll see what Scotty's on the way right now to be the best of his era. So here's my question too: is Scotty on pace to catch Tiger in the majors right now?
He's only 28.
Has he got a shot at that?
So does he have like 4 right now?
He's got 8, doesn't he?
No. Scotty, no.
I seen something that had 6 or 8. I could be completely wrong.
I don't know. I think you're fucking stoned.
The holiday's coming up, brother. Make sure everybody goes to 420 Bliss. Check him out.
I mean, if it was 8, then I would say he's gonna catch him in like 3 years. But
what's his total? 30 something or 40? What's the?
He has a ton of like his number for regular tour wins is stupid. Like his caddy has more earnings than most of the tour combined.
Right.
So he has 9 PGA Tour wins, 3 on the European Tours, 2 on the Corn Ferry. So he's so this is it, bro. You might be thinking of Koepka because I think Koepka has 6 or 7 championship. Okay. All he has is the 2 Masters. PGA Championship, he was tied for second in 2023. In U.S. Open, he was tied for second in 2022. So here's the thing. The reason
Maybe it was 8 tournament wins just in general or something.
That's probably what it was because, yeah, then now he has 9. I bet you that's what it was.
That's probably what it was. Okay.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
I thought it was 8 majors, so I was like, "Yo, is this the homeboy on pace?" But yo, the way he's playing right now—it's
the recent. Yeah. It's all that was recently, dude. PGA Championship tied for second, 2023. U.S. Open, 2022, 2022 Masters, 2024. It's all in the past 2 years.
You know what's crazy too? You should just put a chef hat on that boy because he's cooking.
He is a cook. is he a sous chef or a cook?
I don't know, man. It's hot in that kitchen right now for him. He's going to have his hands full with the baby on the way and everything else. So that's going to cut into his practice time, man. We'll see what happens.
He's going to be burning water.
Dude. Yeah, man. Yo, Ant, I did see you today. I had to stop over your house and pick something up. What did you guys get?
Holy sugar.
I'm assuming you got one with you, right?
Why don't you go snag that, buddy? Why don't you go snag that, my man?
I got it hanging up, so I'm kind of spoiling it already. But
shout out Omar over there at Custom Rag.
Yo, legit. Shout out Omar, man. He takes great care of us. I honestly think
we're going to drop like $1,000 and get him for the John Marizzi Memorial.
Yo, check these out, guys. These things are no joke. I got mine right up here.
So you can find those at go follow Custom Rag on Instagram. I'm not totally sure what the website is. Roger,
you it's at the Custom Rag. I think I have his card right here, but it's thecustomrag.com.
You'll
Omar
find
and his wife Destiny. They're awesome. They're great to work with. If you have an idea, but you don't have the design, he can create it for you. So
he's real nice people. I'm gonna have him on the podcast as well. Roger found him. How did you even find him, man? I know he sent you a couple.
Shout out to Michaels from Legends Golf Club out in California. He showed up. So he came up on one of his tournament pages. He was at a Legends tournament. And I hit him up. I'm like, dude, those rags look awesome. I'd love to get one with my logo. He's like, send me the logo. I'm like, all right, cool. So I sent it over to him. And he has like he's got a tractor trailer. Like if he was up here for any tournament, dude, it's like the coolest setup. So all these vendors pop up and set up tents and stuff. He shows up with a fold down front. It's got 370-inch TVs in the thing. He's got a table popped up. Like his setup is so sick. Check it out. The Custom Rag at the Custom Rag on Instagram.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the pictures. Everyone should give him a follow. He's got some cool stuff, man, going on.
Like, dude, sure.
The quality.
These towels are so dope, bro. It's like a scrubby.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's got the club cleaner on the back. Like, I know, Anthony, you guys never seen the one I got for the sample. So I was really excited. Like, Anthony texted me today. He's like, bro. He's like, damn, bro. And I was like, with Anthony, you never know what that is. I was like, oh, the towels came today. So I knew what he was talking about. And then I got the fire emojis right after that. So I knew, like, if you put a swoosh on that, you're paying $60.
All day.
All day. Tell me I'm wrong. Like, all day.
Absolutely.
Dude,
it came out so good.
I mean, I honestly don't want to use it. I told Omar it's just too nice to get dirty, but I am. I'll use it and wash it.
It's getting used this week.
You can wash them. I got the fire. Pitch button.
Hand wash, but it's fine.
I'll do the first release on your podcast, Amp, with the pitch button puff one right here.
I love that one with the smoke. That's smoke really
that's awesome. So good.
Awesome. Awesome. But hey, let's get to my Cape Cod segment.
Let's hear about it.
You want to hear about it?
Where are you going today? Where are we going today?
This one we're going to go over to Chatham, okay, guys? Okay. Mike, this is a course I played years ago with my dad. You haven't been over here.
That doesn't ring a bell.
No, I played it.
Chatham's shark territory, right?
It is.
That's kind of like how I know the map of the Cape.
So this is a cute little par 3 course. I enjoyed it. My dad really enjoyed it because he loves par 3 courses. He could actually hit the green, and he feels good about it. But it's Chatham Seaside Links. And these are always brought to you by Cape Cod Golf Guys. Again, they just have some really cool Cape Cod golf merch, some Cape Cod golf maps, some awesome hoodies. They give awesome reviews on courses, which that's where I am going to quote them for these segments. So let's go over to Chatham, Mike.
Head on over.
All right. So the boys over at Cape Cod, the Cape Cod Golf Guys, gave Chatham Seaside Links design a par. Founded in 1895, only 3 years older than Cape Cod's oldest course, Highland Links. Rare old world feel as course menders through a seaside neighborhood and Chatham bars and resort. Short links should allow you to keep some clubs in your car. Playability, birdie, tipping out at only 2,249 yards, Chatham Seaside is a step above an executive course. It tests of your accuracy, not your distance. Contrary to the name, not very links-like, lots of places to lose balls out of bounds in thickly wooded surroundings, private properties, and a pond. Greens are mostly postage stamps small, but tend to be fun and undulating. The views, par. Nice sampling of classic Cape Cod course features, pine trees, marsh-like ponds, and sandy traps. While close in proximity to the ocean, you really only get ocean views from a few high points. The vibe, they gave a birdie. While certainly not the old course in Scotland, this course conjures up a similar town meshed with a golf course vibe. It feels like the kind of course to take the kids out for a fun family round, a quick nine after the beach and before dinner, or some extra holes after playing 9 or 18 at another Cape course. Adjacent to the famed Chatham Bars Inn, the hoity-toity vibe can sometimes bleed onto the course. And then the condition, they gave a par, small, fun, fair rolling greens. The mature and natural nature leads to thick grasses throughout, and there's messy bunkers. The 19th hole, which is the food and the drink and beverage, they gave a par. There's no food or drink served on the course, but it is not a problem when you share a property line with the Chatham Bars Inn. And the memorability, they gave a par, a fun addition to a Cape Cod itinerary. If you are in Chatham for the week, avid golfers will want to add this course to the agenda, especially if time is tight. But if you're only going to play one course on your Cape Cod visit, there are a lot better options for serious golfers. You'll likely remember the preppy Chatham vibe more than the course specifics.
Have you, you guys said you played this one, right?
Mike hasn't.
I haven't.
I have. And it's just a short, fun par three. You definitely have the ocean in the distance. It's a, again, it's a fun course to go over and have either a warm-up round before you play 18 at a real course, or go if you want to go with your you know, your not elderly parents, but
TripAdvisor's giving it an 11.
Okay.
You know, out of what? Very good. Very good. Like an 11. It's like an excellent. So, it's two.
No, I have been.
I don't really trust those things because they can pay for better ratings.
Right.
I mean, these guys are Cape Cod guys. That's why I'm going to go with their reviews. They're out there at these courses. They live out there. This is their thing. Give Cape Cod golf guys a follow as well. They're awesome dudes. They kind of inspired us. Right? Yep. They inspired us with the 518 Golf the Cape hashtag of golfing all 50 courses.
Cape Cod golf guys.
They're really cool dudes.
So Anthony, do you think that review is accurate of your experience playing the course?
I do. I don't think it was in the best shape that I remember, but I do remember like the views and the vibe being awesome. You know, the small, very small greens, I remember.
I'm looking at the little pictures on it here, and it does look nice.
Yeah, it's fire for a par three course. I mean, but just right. You go out there, and there's so many, like they said in the review, if you're going out there to play golf, and you're only going to play golf once, I would recommend many other courses before that one.
Yeah, because, well, I don't stay far from, like, I'm like 20, maybe 15 minutes from Chatham where I stay when I go out there. So yep. I'm not, like, I'm looking to find, like, a quick place to go out and play around, because I can go play, but I can't be going all day kind of thing. So that's,
well, it might be a good one for you to bring the daughter and let her hack.
That's what I was thinking too. Maybe throw her clubs in the car.
Yeah. But all right, now that we got the Cape Cod review in, and we talked a little bit about what's going on, a little Masters talk, I'm going to introduce our buddy from Skull Golf. He'll be coming on shortly after this break. Stay tuned.
Peace.
Later.
I don't think the head stuff started yet. I think we're all right.
We're back with Tony from Skulled Golf. What's up, Tony?
How you guys doing, man?
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty
really
well.
Good. Really good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you taking the time and coming on and talking some golf and talking about your brand with us.
I appreciate it for sure.
Yeah, man. We got this awesome Skulled bucket hat that you sent us, and the F it bucket hat, which I got a kick out of when I opened that. I don't know if you saw my reel I made with the bucket hats, but
I did. Yeah,
I'll definitely be. I mean, he'll tell you I own about 3 or 4 bucket hats. He doesn't. He's not a bucket hat guy, but I'm going to force him to wear it so we can.
Yeah, I'm trying to convert. I get that a lot. Like, I'm not a bucket hat guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay, I understand, but you know,
for golfers, listen, it's not only good style. I like it for the style, but I mean, it serves a purpose, keeping the sun out.
I like these ones though; they're pretty dope.
Well, the material, yeah. It's quality. You got quality stuff. There's no doubt about it. So tell us a little bit about how you got into golf, Tony. First off,
sure. I mean, I like a lot of people. I don't know how old you guys are. I'm 54. So when I was younger and in high school, I mean, nobody played golf. It was like, mm-hmm. If we did it, maybe we were just like drinking a few beers and hitting a few balls like into a canyon or something. But I would be surprised if anybody on our high school golf team broke 100.
Oh, you
know? Wow. Yeah. So then as you get older, you kind of like, you grow out of some of the other sports that you're doing. And then people start talking about golf. You're like, I think I could do that. And then once you start hitting balls at the range, forget about it. You're addicted because you are so, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I was so bad. I'm like, there's no way I cannot just like leave the range and not think about how I could get better and start looking into things on how to get better. And it got the golf bug for sure.
Oh yeah. There's a saying, I mean, you always have that shot that keeps you coming back. Everybody says it, you know, if you're not a great golfer, you make that ball contact 1 or 2 times and you hit that sweet spot, man, there's nothing like it. And I totally get it.
2 buckets of balls at the range and you're hooked.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So then you got into this Skuld golf brand just later on in your life, huh?
Yeah. So what I do, my day to day is design and marketing. And so when I was younger, I started, I grew up in Orange County in California. Mm-hmm. And we're right out of a couple of years of college, a company called The Upper Deck was in Yorba Linda, California. It was a trading card company. Uh-huh. And I was hand painting banners at a little sign shop in Anaheim. And I had to hand paint a banner for The Upper Deck company. And I started looking at it. I had to do an internship to get my credits for school. So I took it into school and said, hey, can you look at this place and call them and see if I could do an internship? And they hired me. And I was always doing illustrations and stuff. And I kind of started doing graphic design for the Upper Deck Company way back then in 1991, I think it was. And then Upper Deck moved to San Diego, to Carlsbad, California. And I moved with them. And I just stayed with them for about 10 years doing design and then design management. And then when I left there, I started my own company doing design. And this was just kind of a natural progression. And as a young kid, all I wanted to do was draw skulls. Like you're just drawing skulls left to right. All my friends' yearbooks had skulls. Metallica was really big when I was a kid, and all their artwork had like the cool skulls. And I was into skateboarding, and that was all skulls. I've always kind of had that thing. And so when I was trying to do something that was a little bit different, I thought this is kind of a perfect transition. You know, skull.
That's really cool.
Skull the ball.
Now my wife has she loves the hats as well, and she loves the company because she is a hardcore girl, loves hardcore music, and has skulls all over her body. She's a tatted up girl, and she's just got a ton of skulls. So, do you have any skull tattoos? Are you a tattoo guy?
I have tattoos. I have a couple of tattoos. I don't have any skulls. My son. My son has a skull. In fact, one of the t-shirt designs, the skull in the cart.
Yeah.
You can see it on the website. He wants to get that as a tattoo.
Mikey's got a skull right here. Mikey's got a skull. I think skull is definitely a pretty badass concept.
Ghost Rider. The Ghost Rider skull always got me. I loved it. So I got it tattooed on me.
I've always been into it. I don't know what attracted me to it. And this is kind of an easy transition. And the brand, it's new, it's young, but that's kind of the feel I'm trying to give it, is a little bit of an edge kind of thing. Yeah. It's a little bit kind of, anarchy, punk rock, but not too far over the edge. And the idea really was, what do they call them now? Follically challenged. So I'm bald. I play a ton of golf. Right. So when I came back one day, my wife looked at me and said, hey, you got like some dirt or something on your head. So I went to rub it off and she looked and she goes, oh, that's not dirt. That's a golf hat tan. You know, when your face is tan and your head is white.
Yep.
And I go, F that. like I'm not gonna have that. So I started looking into something I could wear, like those big sun hats or a bucket hat, and there was nothing that was kind of cool out there. And so I thought, I'm just gonna make my own.
Design it. Perfect. There you go. I love it. I love the idea. I love the concept. I'm like I said, I'm a bucket hat guy. I'm the only reason I'm not wearing it right now for this is that they're very hard to wear with headphones. Yeah, I was actually asking Mikey. We were trying to figure out every way how to do it, how to wear it. I mean, I guess I could, you know, put it on. If I put it over the top of them, it just sat on the top of the headphones and looked.
It would be hard. Weird.
So, but you will be seeing me wearing it out with a couple outfits I have this weekend out on the golf course.
For sure.
We're going on eight guys. I
had mentioned it before we started filming that I played today. It was about 83 degrees today. And I'm not kidding, man. You wear a bucket hat, you stay 10 to 15 degrees cooler. The sun's not beating down on your ears. It's not beating down on your neck. And you can actually kind of concentrate on the game versus just wiping sweat off your face the whole day.
100%. I mean, it's going to be a little bit cooler this weekend. So, I mean, it's more of a summer, definitely a summer thing. But I like it more for this time. I'm a bucket hat guy. I wear them in the wintertime. I don't even care.
Yeah,
like
and there. So we just had a bunch of rain, believe it or not. And me and my my buddy that plays on the weekends with me was pouring rain on us. And we had the bucket hats on. They're water resistant, and they did a really good job. And a couple of things that I did on there is I call it the aerated back, which is all the laser cut holes that are on the back. So that allows it when on a hot day, your head can kind of breathe. It's not like just trapped, you know, all the hot air is not trapped on your head. And believe it or not, even in the rain, the water's not penetrating through those holes. It just kind of wicks off of there.
Yeah. We're trying to show it. So for our people watching the video, we were just talking about here with that's huge. Definitely to let air in the hot summer days.
Yeah.
Especially when it's nice and breezy, let the breeze through to cool off that sweaty head of yours, you know? It's very important to have that kind of filter.
Yeah,
you know,
us bald people, we need cover for the head. So these bucket hats are prime.
For sure. And, you know, I do traditional hats too. I've got like what we call the trucker hat here. It's like the foam top. It's more of a beach hat. And then I've got the traditional rope hat as well. And then I've got some t-shirts.
Yeah, so Roger was I think, wearing that one out. I saw him earlier out on the golf course. I think he was wearing the one you have on or something similar.
Something similar, yeah. I sent him a few of these as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
The golf cart skull logo.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like that one.
Yeah. Cool, man. So you get to play. I mean, living in sunny California, you get to play basically all year long, huh?
So when people say golf season, I don't really know what that means. I mean, we just play all the time, and we don't get that much lightning either. So even if it's pouring rain, if you're hardcore enough, we just keep trudging along.
You're on a little rain gear and you're good to go. Yeah, we're so psyched. Here in upstate New York, we're so addicted to golf, and as soon as like spring breaks, we're making
jealous of you.
Yeah,
I am really.
We ask ourselves every day, man. We really say, what are we doing in New York? There's really no bargain here. There's not. It's not, you know, it's
New Year's Day comes around and it's always like, oh man, we still got another 2.5-3 months to go.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a long winter. It's so cold. It's you know, even you'll get stretches in the summertime here in upstate New York where it's just really gray and just a lot of storms, and it's just and it's just a very expensive state to live. I mean, one of the highest tax states. I always tell everybody, if it wasn't for my wife's state job and that she's, you know, she's the bread maker for us, you know, and I have a pretty decent business here. If it wasn't for those, I'd be either in California or Florida or Carolina somewhere. Man,
I lived in Dallas for a few years.
The same.
You know, I grew up in California since I was 2, and I moved to Dallas. And I kid you not, it's going to sound ridiculous, I didn't even know that grass went dormant. So I get to Texas, and I'm like, why is the grass all yellow? And they looked at me like, what are you talking about?
That's funny.
Yeah. Like, what's that mean?
I joke around. I blame my parents. I blame them. I say, what the hell were you doing living in New York State? Why you should have, you know, had me in a warm temperature, weather, you know, somewhere warm. But, you know, it's all New York does have some beautiful things. You know, I like all four seasons, but just not so long. Like the winter is so long.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, we get like, if the leaves start falling, we get all excited. It's like, oh, you know, we got four seasons here. We really don't.
That's what people travel to see our leaves, the foliage.
Your winter jacket's a hoodie.
Yeah.
It is. And I there's about 5 months out of the year I'm just in hoodies for sure. But hoodies and shorts. So it's, yep. It's not even yeah. It, but we pay the sunshine tax. So you know, gas is always like $5.50 a gallon. Yep. Houses, true. You know, God bless people.
Well, I think California, but this is the thing. California is a very expensive state to live, but you have beautiful weather. You have the beach nearby. I mean, you know, sometimes depending on what part of California, but like at least if you're paying. So listen, our gas is $3.60 a gallon. I would gladly pay $5 a gallon if I could be in California. It's really, you know, it's
come on it's out, like, man. Come
at
on
least
out.
You're. At least you're
got paying, a room open.
At least you're, you know, at least you're golfing all year long, brother. Yeah. So are you a member at any golf clubs or do you just kind of just golf wherever? Like, you know,
I actually am. It's a public course, but it's a really high end course. It's called Medeiros in Poway, California. It's in San Diego County. Nice. And so in fact, I played today with two people from, Thailand. Oh, it was okay. A husband and wife that were here on business. And so I play a lot as a single during the week. And I ask people, I go, you know, how'd you find this course? And they say, we just looked up the best courses to play in San Diego. And it always says Torrey Pines and it says Medeiros.
Wow. Okay. And so, it's probably a hell of a lot cheaper than Torrey Pines.
Medeiros is kind of expensive, but they do have membership programs that, you know, me and a bunch of my buddies have done. The funny thing about Torrey Pines is, I have to pay the same rate as you guys because I'm not in San Diego city limits. I'm in the county, but not the city. Wow. So people come and say, hey, you know, I want to go play Torrey Pines. I go, ahead. I'm not going to pay $200 something to play.
It's probably, you know, I've played courses like that. And then you play courses like that you're speaking of. And really, I mean, they're surprisingly not that much better. I'm not going to say Torrey Pines isn't better than this, but Mikey's just bringing up the course here. We're looking at the course tour. It looks beautiful. It's nice. It is nice. I'll tell you what. California has some beautiful tracks. Do you follow Patrick Koenig, the photographer? He just broke the world record for the most consecutive, or not consecutive, the most golf courses in a year.
I do follow. I'm not sure if it's him, but I do follow some golf photographers.
Yeah, amazing. He takes some pictures in California, some of the courses in California, because he lives in California. I think he lives in Laguna Beach. Some of the courses out there are just breathtaking.
Yeah,
we're really pretty. It's not only. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, we have different terrain too. I mean, we have the mountain. People always think California is just the beach, but we've got the mountains. We've got the desert. I'm about 90 minutes from Palm Springs and Palm Desert. So all those courses are, you can play them in the morning and get back by dinner. Not a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
We don't complain with that.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's just Pebble Beach, but it's not. It's California is loaded with some beautiful tracks.
It is.
But yeah, one of these days I'm gonna when I'm retired or when I have the time, I'll take a trip out there and spend I think you know a couple weeks and maybe play Pebble Beach along with. I mean, Pebble Beach is definitely a bucket list, but. With five or six other of the nice courses.
Well, I mean, the great thing is I did a Pebble Beach trip with my friends. And we played Pebble, and then in the surrounding areas, there's like seven or eight other really nice courses that you can play that are reasonable. There aren't $600. They're $95 or $125. So you can play Pebble once.
Even reasonable for Pebble Beach, for the tag that you're paying for Pebble Beach, you're definitely going to have to keep the other ones at a reasonable rate.
Absolutely.
But that's an experience. You get the, you know, you get the caddy and everything there. And it's just, I hear it's an experience like no other.
Yeah.
I ask everybody. It's one of the questions that I do like five questions at the end, and the question always comes up one course that you dream of playing. And everybody is funny. Everyone's like Pebble Beach. It's just such
the other thing that I'm noticing too. I get a lot of golf publications is Northern Nevada, Southern Utah has amazing courses as well. So if you guys ever go to Vegas, you know, just go another 40 minutes outside of Vegas. You're going to hit like Wolf Creek in those courses and then go into Southern Utah. And there's a bunch of really, really amazing courses there.
Yeah. Well. It's like, if you only had time and money, right?
Time and money.
Yeah. I remember there was one course on the Tiger Woods game that was in Utah.
Yeah.
And it was always phenomenal to play.
Yeah.
That's all we could get it at right now is playing video games, unfortunately.
Are you guys still stuck in? You have to have some spring weather.
No, we actually, well, it wasn't great. It was in the mid 50s, but and it sprinkled a little bit. But for us, that's fine. I've golfed this weekend, two times. I golfed Saturday and Sunday, and it was. I mean, it wasn't beautiful. I prefer it being in like the high 60s, low 70s. Yeah. Perfect temperatures for me. But mid 50s works. It wasn't cold. Yeah, we're in it now. We're actually going out to Cape Cod, which my parents have a condo, so we go quite often. But this is the first time we're going with eight guys from this golf week tour I'm on. So that's we're playing four courses in 3 days. So it should be fun doing a little Ryder Cup thing.
That's really cool. I mean, golf is such a cool thing to get into. I have two younger boys. I have three children. And then I have two stepkids as well. They're younger, but my boys are 21 and 25. And they're like really into golf now. And them and their friends say, why didn't we get into this earlier? Why did we, you know, play these other sports? We should have just started taking lessons at 7 years old. And I tried to get them to play golf with me when they were younger. And they're like, nah, golf. It's like an old man's sport.
So my dad,
it's the same thing we did.
Yeah.
And my dad was funny. He was, I actually happened to win it was the first week of this tour we're on, and I'm not trying to like even bring it up. I don't want to. He's gonna say you're tooting your own horn, but it was out of 19 guys, and I took my dad and I was like talking to my dad, and he was like, you know, he's like, you shouldn't have played hockey. He goes, you spent so much money on hockey and equipment, and he goes, we should have just got you into golf and got you lessons at a younger age, and you got such a nice natural swing, and I do have a natural swing from hockey. You know, you kind of have a little bit of the same. Balance transfer, but it's it was funny. Even he was saying, my dad does not golf. He'll golf once a year with us for a tournament, but he was just saying, he goes, you know, we wasted our time. He goes, where were you going with hockey? You were going nowhere with hockey. He goes maybe you would have had something with golf. You know, I do wish I started. I really didn't start until my mid-20s to play seriously, and you know, it's, I'm not saying I'm great, but it's definitely you learn, you suck things in and learn so much better at a young age and as a kid.
Absolutely. It's even like the languages, or, you know, I'm trying to learn different languages right now because we travel a lot. It's almost impossible.
Yep. But as a kid,
my brain's full. It's done.
right. Oh, man. And I have a 2 year old. I have a 7 year old and a 2 year old. And you're just watching the 2 year old sucking everything in, you know, it's like, and they do it. They're so smart. I got a golf club. Maya, my 7 year old, has been taking lessons the past year. And she's got a great little stick. You can see a video on my Instagram if you scroll down of her hitting away indoors. And then my 2 year old's got the little plastic clubs that Maya used to hit around, and all she does is beat people with those things. But
now they're just billy clubs.
She knows how, she says, like, when I say her golf is on TV or golf club, she points at the golf set, and like she knows that they're golf clubs. Yeah. And she shows interest, so that's cool, you know. So I don't want to force it on them, but definitely it'll be there for them, and starting them young is key.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of like why I started the brand was, you know, it's just kind of an extension of what I love to do, which is golf and then design. And the challenge is, and I was even telling Roger the other day when I spoke to him, is being a designer, it's difficult to be satisfied. It's like every time I design something, it's like, oh, that's cool. And then a couple of days later, I'm like, oh, now I got another idea. I want to do something else. And then a couple of days later, it's like, have another idea. I want to do something else.
I have a brain like that. I do. That's why I couldn't do that. Yeah. Tell me, what's your hottest seller? What would you say your best seller is?
The rope hats, just the regular traditional golf rope hats. And oddly enough, most of my sales come at the golf course. You know, I play with people and they ask me what I do. And I go, oh, you know, it's a good question. I have these cards I carry with me, and then they get really into it. I don't know if they're just being nice to me because we're playing together or they're very interested. But then typically, they either go to my car and I carry samples.
You keep a couple in your trunk and you keep
a little. A ton of stuff. Oh, yeah. I have a sample of every in my car.
That's a great idea.
Yes, the difficulty is it's a saturated market, right? So if you look into golf hats on Instagram, there's like 1,000.
Yeah, there is.
But like I told Roger the other day, hamburgers are a saturated market as well. But you know, people are still buying hamburgers. You know, they're not turning away. Going, there's too many hamburger enough, places.
When you make it good enough,
quality and material. Yeah, I'm hoping it catches on. You know, it's something that's fun. I think the brand is kind of cool and could be kind of a little bit of aggressive. And the quality is really, really good. And I've tried to build some things into them that help you along the way, which is keep the sun off your neck and keep the sun off your head and UV protectant and water resistant. So hopefully it catches on. I'm really thankful for people like you guys that reach out and say, hey, we just want to talk some golf and talk about the brand. It's helpful.
I'm really enjoying doing this thing. I mean, I just started this in December, and we didn't think we were going to start with doing guests. We just kind of started it with the Cape Cod thing. We were going to talk about Cape Cod golf courses and kind of have a little podcast about that. And then I just started meeting so many awesome people on Instagram, and, you know, reaching out to them. And Roger kind of started having some guests on, and Roger was like, why didn't you start having some of these guys on that you're chatting with? And now, I mean, I had that world record holder, Patrick Koenig. He was awesome. I have, I don't know if you follow the new nine golf guy, the guy that's trying to play the on Augusta. He's, you know, it's just people I'm meeting throughout the golf world. It's so fun. I'm meeting guys, awesome guys like yourself, just chit chatting golf. It's a ton of fun. It's really fun. When did you actually go live with your brand, Tony? When did you start?
So it's only been a couple of months. I had it in the works. I have to go. They're manufactured overseas. I tried to do them in America. It's really, expensive. Really difficult.
And I get it, man. I get it.
Yeah. And so, you know, you have to do a lot of samples kind of going back and forth. And a lot of times I'd have to have my wife come in and go, can you read this email and try to figure out exactly what they're saying, you know, because of the language barrier. No. But it hasn't been that long. It's been a couple of months. I'm kind of treating the first go around as a little bit of a loss leader. So when people reach out, I send them stuff just to get the word out. Yep. I've given a bunch away to the people at the course. The cart girl has a couple of hats that she wears around, just to try to spread the word. Instagram's been fun, picking up a lot of different followers.
Awesome. Yeah, I did the same thing with I don't have. I'm not trying to do it for sales of, you know, as clothing line. I'm just doing. We're trying to do it. Same thing. I give a lot of free stuff away, just trying to get the podcast brand, just the logo out of the podcast. And there's people I give hats away, and people say, oh, what's that hat? Where's that? Just say, oh, it's the Upstate Golf Guys podcast. Just so it's talked about. Yeah. You know, just get the word out. So I'm taking it as a loss as well. Trust me. Yeah. I get that.
And I even joked about it in one of the posts I did on Instagram, which was kind of like, you know, F the bigger brands, you know, kind of, you know, help the little brands out. Because honestly, if people reach out to me, I respond right away. Yeah. It's just me. It's not a big corporation behind me. Absolutely. I joke with people all the time. I go, you know, that Titleist tag, you think Titleist cares about you? You think if you reached out to Titleist right now and said, hey, you know, this hat's not fitting too well, or, you know, send me another one, you think they'd do that? There's no way.
I love helping and working with little guys. I mean, I have a small business myself. We've been in business. I'm third generation, 50 years.
Start reaching out to some caddies on the tour.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So that's a girl. I'll do a shout out to her. Let me find it on my Instagram real quick. She's from Argentina, I believe, but she's playing in Florida. And she reached out and said, I love your stuff. And she wears bucket hats. Can you send me something? So I just sent it yesterday to her. And she's a really good player. She won like the Argentinian amateur. And she said, I want to rep your stuff when I play in the U.S. amateur. And I'm like, absolutely.
Oh, you know, that's really awesome, cool. Dude. Awesome.
Love it. See, that's all it takes. It takes one thing, man. It takes one thing to spark.
Get back to your apparel line.
Yeah.
You plan on doing any kids stuff?
So I think that's actually a really good idea. The kids stuff. I also want to, right now I'm just doing tees, like t-shirts.
Yeah.
But I do want to get into apparel as well. And I think I want to kind of stay away from the, you know, and I use this term loosely. I don't want to offend anybody, like the frat boys threw up all over your golf polo look. It's like it's all over the place. That's right. I think that's been done enough. I'd like to get into that slowly. And then the kids for sure, because in fact, my stepson's really into this stuff. And he's like, you know, give me a hat. I want to wear it to school. And he puts it on his head and it just kind of falls over his head.
Yep.
The t-shirts are too big. But I think that's a pretty good untapped market.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I do believe the skull translate to kids as well.
they probably aren't going to wear the fuck it hat as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll leave it up to the parents.
Right, exactly. Keep those ones in extra large so the kids can't wear them.
Yeah. All right, well, Tony, before we give you your plugs and you know, let people where they could find you, I like to play this game here. I pick five questions, golf related. So we'll start with Mikey on this one, and we'll go around the horn. Mikey, what is the prettiest hole that you've ever played? I know.
Crump and Fox. Yep. What's the water hole? The water
par five.
Hole. Is that the par five?
It's an eight going out of the back nine.
Hole eight. Yeah, and then nine.
is the island hole.
Yep, Crump and Fox, the water hole.
Yeah, look up Google Crump and Fox. I don't know. I think it's seven, eight, or nine. I think it's going on to the back nine. If you look up Crump and Fox, it'll be their feature hole.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's you know, one of our Western Massachusetts courses that's only about an hour from us, and we take the trip over there. And I would agree, Mike. Awesome. Absolutely beautiful. Tony, how about you? What's your most beautiful hole out there in San Diego that you would say that you play?
In San Diego.
Sure. Well, I don't know. Anywhere. I guess it should be anywhere, but I know you're in San Diego, so I'm sure there's a lot of beautiful holes.
I mean, it's going to be cliche, but the famous par three at Pebble. You know, that short par three.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. We played it in the rain and in the wind. It's like 101 yards. I think I hit like a three iron or something. It was ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, there was a hole. Actually, there was an island hole at the course we just played on Sunday. And the wind was, it was 170 yard island hole and the wind was whipping. I took a hybrid out and I ripped it. And I sliced it a little bit, but the only way I was getting there with the way the wind was swirling. So yeah. I get that. Mikey, I would say, I was thinking the same hole. I really was. It is such a beautiful hole. I mean, it's for us short, I mean, I only drive the ball 250 max, so I'm not getting it there on this hole in two, this Crump and Fox hole. It's got a false front peninsula green that, I mean, if you're going for it on your second drive, you better get it there because it'll roll back and go right in. It is a beautiful hole. Mikey's right. If you ever make it out to Massachusetts, check out Crump and Fox, Tony.
It's worth a trip.
It's a public course. It's one of those public courses, but it's $110 around, $120 around. I mean, for this area, that's pretty expensive. It's normally about $65-$70 around in this area for public courses.
I jotted it down. Definitely on my list now.
Yeah. All right. Good. Awesome. All right. Let's go to the next question. Tony, what are the strongest and weakest parts of your game?
Okay. So believe it or not, the strongest part of my game is driving, not in terms of distance. But I hit a lot of fairways. I just kind of have confidence with my driving. Weakest is definitely compressing my irons. I just don't get a lot of distance. And that good, crisp sound with the irons, you know, you're playing with a good player. You're like, frick, man, I want to do that.
Yeah, so you almost hear the ball fly by. You know, like that.
Yeah, that.
Yep. I agree.
Mike, that for sure.
I know Mikey's answer to this, but tell the people, Mikey.
My weakest and strongest?
Strongest and weakest.
My strongest has probably got to be my short game.
I call him Mikey Up and Down. That's my nickname for him, is Mikey Up and Down.
And my weakest has got to be my driver. I got to step my driver up this year.
Yeah. You're not consistent with it.
Nope, I'm not.
And I will say my best is my driver. I pipe him. But max out 250, but just consistent down the middle. And Mikey will agree.
Yeah, he's Mikey, usually 30 yards ahead.
Where do I lose all my strokes, Mike?
On the putting.
On the greens, Tony. It's terrible, Tony.
Drive for show, putt for dough.
And Mikey, I get so annoyed with him because I call him Mikey Up and Down. It'll take him three. He'll be
40 and in. I'm good.
So I'll be putting for birdie. Okay, and he'll be chipping. He'll be chipping from 80 out on his on a par four. Who pars it and who bogeys it every time?
It's all about the score. I tell people all the time when they're blowing past me, it's like, what'd you guys write down? It's all
yeah. yeah. So it's my. I, just, for sure. I mean, I changed my putting grip a few times last year. I'm going back to the claw this year, and I had some luck on Sunday with the claw grip. So we'll see what happens there.
Do you guys know anybody that has one of the lab putters?
No.
LAB. So it doesn't rotate when you go back and forth. It stays. They've built something into it where it stays straight back through and back. It will not rotate. And a buddy of mine that I play with, Justin, has one. And the first time he brought it out was unbelievable. Wow. It's like
I think I know what you're talking about. No, they're very expensive. $600-700 or something. I did see one. I saw a video of one, but yeah, maybe I need that. All right. If you had all the time in the world, didn't have to work, had all the money in the world, how many rounds of golf a year would you like to play? Would you pull a Patrick Koenig and play 36 holes a day if you could?
I wouldn't play 36 holes a day, but I would definitely play at least five times a week.
Five times a week? Okay.
For sure. If not every day.
I'm in that range. I think I would do five times a week and maybe sometimes seven times a week.
Yeah, I'd be about 5 days a week.
You would take a little rest.
You got to have 2 days to recoup.
You know, it depends. It kind of depends how you're shooting, right? I mean, if you're like shooting lights out, that's what makes you addicted. And if you're finishing the round, you might play 36 holes, because if you have the money and have the time, and you don't have the kids and the family and whatever it is that makes you come home from golf.
Yeah.
I mean, I might go out and play 36 if I'm on fire those last four or five holes.
Then there's going to be days you're playing nine and you're bouncing.
Right. That's exactly what I was saying. And there's times you want to quit after nine.
The challenge is, let's say you have a really good 18 and you're like, man, I'm going to go. I'm going to play 36. And then you just start like spraying it all over the place. Yeah.
Three holes in.
Why'd I ruin my day?
I could have had that good thought in my head when I went home. I should have just
stopped. Okay. All right, this is a good one, actually. This is a good one to talk about, because we could kind of bring up Tiger in this one a little bit. If a professional golfer has a disability, should they be allowed to ride a cart during a tournament?
I think so.
I think you know what? Why not? Yeah. Why not? It's not. Golf is
so hard, and I understand the walking is a big part of it. But golf is so hard that I can't imagine. I have problems with my feet sometimes. And it's almost impossible to swing. You know, if someone has, a torn knee or absolutely let them. Yeah. It's better when they're out there. It's better for everybody.
I agree. Let them out there on the cart. I honestly think though Tiger has such just high ego that I don't think he would want. I don't think he would want to. I don't think even if they offered it and said you can and go out, we want you out there and play. I think he would want to do it like everybody else.
I think I seen something on Instagram about him joining the Champions Tour eventually, and how he's just going to go and dominate that, because they get to use cards, don't they?
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah. Oh, he will go down there too. He will.
And it's only three rounds.
All right. Last question, guys. Last question. What's the most amazing shot that you've ever seen? Could be in professional golf, or it could be just with your buddies. Tony, you got one? Is it a shot of yourself? Have you any hole in ones?
I've never had a hole in one. I'll tell you a funny story too towards the end. Okay. I've never had a hole in one. I've seen four.
Okay.
So I would have to say that
incredible. I haven't yet. And I've been golfing with people for 20 something years, and I have not seen a hole in one yet.
Yeah, I'm right in the same boat. But I haven't seen one yet.
I still think to this day, I still go on YouTube and watch this shot. The most amazing shot that I've ever seen is the Tiger. What hole is the par three at Augusta with the flop shot?
Yeah, where it just trickled right in at the very end.
The Nike commercial, and they show the ball. I mean, come on. I think that's like one of the most amazing shots. It's just, I could watch Tiger highlights over and over again. I don't know. think that's the best shot. What do you think?
I don't know.
You can't think of
I can't think of one off the top of my
head. What about, I mean, come on, me? You golf with me
I'm
all the time.
I'm waiting for my hole in one. Yeah. I'm not remembering nothing until I get a hole in one.
I have the same friends that I've had my whole life. So I have some high school friends that I golf with all the time, and we take golf trips. And one of them's a really good friend of mine. He's a physician, and he got some new clubs. And when he started, he kind of started after everybody, so he wasn't as good. He's gotten a lot better lately. So I bring him out to my club. I've never got a hole in one. First day he's playing with his new irons, we get to 17. He hits it on the green. The ball's rolling, the ball's rolling, the ball's rolling. The ball goes in, hole in one. You know, super, super excited. So at my course, they give you a flag, you know, and he goes, "You guys got to sign my flag. You got to sign my flag. I'm going to hang it in my office." Like, absolutely, I'll sign your flag. So I take the pen and I write, "You're an asshole." So now every time I see him, I go, "Hey, Jared, did you hang that flag in your office yet?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Yeah, exactly. You don't come That's to my crazy. Club, That's, you know, and get I a hold of before I do."
I love it. Love it. Love it.
I would have did the same thing.
That is this guy right here, man. That is this guy. But Tony, why don't you tell everybody where they could find you, where they could find your awesome hats? Give your plugs.
I appreciate it. Yeah, so the website is skulled-golf.com, skulled-golf.com. And then the Instagram is skulledgolfofficial. Awesome. So I would love, I appreciate you guys getting me on. I would love people to follow me on Instagram. If they have any questions or anything, message me. I'll message right back. Let's build it.
Honestly, it really is. It is really, really, really good quality material. It's thick. It's the
you can tell it's waterproof.
Yeah, the logos are
resistant, I should say.
Yes, water resistant. The logos are fire. I'm definitely going to be, like I said, you will be seeing me wear it this weekend out there at the Cape. I'm going to be rocking you out at Ocean Edge when we're battling with the guys. So appreciate you taking the time and coming on and telling us about it, Tony.
Thanks a lot. Hey, anytime you guys are in San Diego, you have to come out. You have to come out to San Diego. I told Roger the best time to come is September, October. Those are our warmest, sunniest months. Let's get out and play some golf.
That would be amazing. Awesome. That would be amazing.
Awesome.
All right. And
nice meeting you, Tony.
And you make too, sure you, Tony. All right. And make sure everybody stays tuned for the Golf Week Spotlight after the commercial. We are back with the first ever Golf Week Spotlight brought to you by the Golf Week Amateur Tour. This week was the first event at Old Post Road on Sunday, April 14th. Our champ flight winner was Adam Cahill. He shot a 75. He finished first out of four golfers. Finishing right behind him was Jason Hoke. He shot an 80. A-flight golfers, John Cole was your winner, who shot an 80. He had to go to a playoff hole with Sean Doster, who also shot an 80, but John Cole took it home. B-flight had 11 golfers, and Dan Gioannangelo shot a 78. He won a nice $120. Mike Scott finished right behind him with an 80 and 160. C-flight golfers had 8 in their flight. Mitchell Dixon took it home with an 83. He won $120. Craig Shoemaker finished second with an 89, and he took home $60. And our D-flight had 19 golfers. And your winner was yours truly, Anthony Farina of the Upstate Golf Guys.
Fife.
Shot a 91. And I won a nice $160. And we had three tied for second with a 92. But Matt Grayson finished fifth, just outside of the money, with a 94. But he was the biggest winner of the day, taking home the only skin out of C&D Flight, winning a hefty $440. We have Matt with us today. What's up, brother?
What's up, guys?
Not much. What did you do with that? Go buy some diapers? What else?
I handed it right to my wife and said, here, honey, this pays for my next couple tournaments.
Absolutely. So I have to say, I was playing with you, and when we first looked at the skins and the scoreboard, it was around the 15th hole or 14th hole. Actually, I should say I looked at it, and I said, Matt, do you want to know? And you go, no. Actually, yes. And I said, you're the only dude holding this right now. And we were one of the last groups to play. You were looking good, bro. How do you feel about that, dude?
At the time I looked, I think Drew Savoy had another. So it was 220 a man, I think, the first time we looked. And then we looked again towards the end, and I was the Lone Ranger. And then I just started to think about, I don't need to come back all these strokes. I'm down. I just need to keep this money, and you know, you lose and still walk away with money. Like, I can't do that on Sunday with my buddies.
That's what's awesome about this tour, isn't it? Just those side games.
I mean, yeah, last year I played six rounds and I think three and a half of them were paid for
Of
skins money or second place or whatever the case may be. So like, it adds a whole nother dimension that people don't even think about with the tours. Like, you can still have a shitty day, crappy day, sorry.
You can drop it, that's fine.
Yeah, and still walk away with money in your pocket. I've done that many times, so it's kind of cool, you know, just to play golf, lose, and still make money because you had one good hole.
Yeah, Mikey's walked away with a couple skins last year.
I got a couple last year.
Yeah, I mean, literally anybody could get them. You have one or two good holes, you have a shitty round, but you have one or two good holes, that's all it takes to take home a skin. That's what's awesome about this tour.
I was explaining that to my brother who was in the car with me. I told him, like, you know, it's, you have a couple bad ones, but you get one good hole. Like, I didn't have many good holes before that. And then the 10th hole started the new nine, you know, on the two, and got lucky and made my whole day.
And then some of the other skin winners in the A and B flight were combined. John Cole, Damon Adams, Andrew Fontaine, Jason Hoch, and Dan Geo, and they only won $80 each because they had to split it five ways. That's really normally, that is normally how I mean.
Yeah, that's how I got mine.
Yeah, me too. Listen, I won it like you in Vermont. I was the only one to win a skin, but it was only like, it was a way smaller field. So I think it was like $280. You had a nice field, dude. You had a
The super skins we typically do, we didn't do super skins this time. And I had a super skin, no one else birdied 10. So
wow,
if we did super skins like we typically do, but he combined the flights, which we usually do individual, but that would have been a crazy super skin if that was the whole pot.
Yeah. Right. So getting greedy now, getting greedy.
I was telling him about the island hole and just how almost unfair it is. What are your thoughts of the island hole, bro, at Old Post?
I think we played it perfectly. We hit it in the water. We took our drop shot, hit it in the water, and then
we hit sixes. So, Mike, we were, Grayson and I were like head-to-head after the island hole. So what is that, like 13 or 14? 14. Yeah. So you're up on the tee box of 15. We're all watching Brian DeBell and his buddy Matt, who were ahead of us at the time by a couple strokes. The only way we were staying in, because we had just taken sixes, the most you could take, because we took our drop shots in the water as well. So we're just like, so then we took our last shot. We're like, let's try to slam dunk it. We put that in the water. Wait, just, you know, it was crazy. But we're up on, me and Matt are both like looking like through the woods, like peeking, like watching. We're like, are they going to dunk it? Are they going to put it in the water? Are they going to put it in the water?
He put it in the water. Drop shot. came up short, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, it's
dude, that hole is murderous.
It's oh god, it's, and then the wind was swirling. It just was brutal.
The first time I played that hole last year with a couple of my friends, because the group golfer, we played that hole with the sprinklers on the tee boxes. Ugh. The sprinklers were going while we're teeing off on all the holes. So we literally teed off on that green while the sprinklers were going. I have a video on my phone of us with our shirts off.
They're doing a lot of work over there. I think it's going to be a nice, once all those tee boxes are finished. That one par three, I think, is going to be a really nice hole with the like the gully in between. Yeah. They're redoing that hole. I think that's going to be a really picturesque hole, but they're putting a ton of work into it, which I respect. I like the kid in there that's running the place.
Yeah, I mean, it rained for 3 days. It rained for 3 days, and the course was actually drier than I expected it to be.
Yeah, the greens were rolling. I had a good time.
Yeah, there's usually a couple soggy spots out through there.
I played Van Patten today, and Van Patten was wetter than Old Post Road was after 3 days of rain.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
Van Patten doesn't take water that well, though. They just, it's like a sitting sponge.
Yep. Some courses do and some courses don't. Yep. But all right, I just wanted to do a rundown with you, Grayson, while I could catch you for a few minutes. And I don't want to keep these things going forever. I just basically want to give everybody a highlight that was big money winners and that is on the top of the points. Once the points get going, this is the first week of points, so obviously all the winners are on the top of points. But once the points get rolling, once we're into week five or six, I'll be announcing who's at the top of points as well. And I'm really, really excited to be the voice of the Golf Week Amateur Tour, and just hoping to grow with Adam and grow the game, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And also, I want to just make sure I give you who you are with the 518 Golf Jays and what you're trying to do. I should have done that.
Where can people
find you and what you're all about, promoting the courses? Give people a shout. What are you all about?
Listen, we're more like social media type. Go out in the course, take a couple videos with your buddy, do something cool, make a couple bets, whatever. Just golf in a different way. I'm not much of a podcast. yeah. I don't have the creativity and the work ethic that you guys do, but basically, you know, I just want to do on-course stuff to make golf more fun. So just bring golf to the page. I try to share local courses because a lot of people don't know Freer Park. A lot of people don't know what Saratoga Lake has done in the past 6 years of their course, how they opened it up. Everyone used to hate it because it was so narrow. It's just like, I like to play a lot of different courses, and I want to bring people with me. Cause
then you're going to try to get a drone out there, right? You said you're going to
have a drone out there. We'll have, you know, on course challenges like we did the other day. Yeah. Closest to the pin from 200.
That was fun. And you nailed it, dude. You nutted it.
That was the hole. That was the
eagle hole. It was too. Yeah. Yep. He had two eagle putts, dude, for that day. Two eagle putts.
Still shot a 47.
Well, it's the consistency. That's why we're in deflate right now, bro. That's why we're in deflate, because you could come out and shoot three birdies in a row and then three triples in a row, just the way it is.
Yep.
You know, but with that said, make sure everybody signs up for Freer Park, which is April 27th. It's on a Saturday. Freer Park did big things over there in Troy, New York. One of our favorites. I believe that they almost have it full already. So if you're listening to this, make sure you go sign up and get on the Freer Park event on the Golf Week Amp Tour. And I appreciate everybody tuning in, as always, to the Upstate Golf Guys podcast.
518 to the Cape.
Talk soon.
Thanks, fellas.